The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
We are 1 hour in, and it's been a pretty amazing first hour on the first Monday after the first. Yeah, I think you know it by now. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Frankie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie. I'm sorry. Hey, Paul. I'm just a little nervous. This is Frankie. I'm in Dawsonville, Georgia.
Great to have you here, Frankie.
And thank you, Paul. I just wanted to call about LSU. You know, I saw this coming. They're a one-hit wonder is all you can say. I think Coach O is just going to be like Chizik, you know, just a flame out, just a one-hit wonder. You know, LSU, they just don't have a consistent program, you know, like a blue blood, like a Clemson and a Bama, and like my Dogs, you know, that's been up there, you know, been up there in the top five for several years now. And I mean, you just saw it. It's LSU again, and a one-hit wonder is all I can say. I mean, he put together a miracle year because he got lucky on a quarterback, but they ain't going to – I mean, it's one-hit wonder.
Frankie, it's one game, but I hear you. Todd is up next in Georgia. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks again for taking my call. I appreciate it. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good deal. Hey, just to resonate with Eddie from Florida, not to kind of go back to the overreacting thing, the theme for today. but, you know, Red Dog and I think Daryl there, you know, the Georgia fans, with their, you know, opening statements and, you know, wanting to, you know, point out whatever flaws, you know, Alabama seemed to have, you know, in our victory against Missouri. Paul, I would have loved to have seen the final score had Georgia opened with Missouri and seen what that outlook would have been like, given the scenario, you know, with what they did against Arkansas. I'm not taking away anything from Arkansas or diminishing, you know, from either team, but what do you think?
Well, here's the thing about Alabama and Georgia. They both were playing inferior opposition on the road, and they both had huge home games the next week. It's common sense in the Alabama case to get, you get a big lead and you're already thinking about coming back and playing Texas A&M. You didn't realize how poorly Texas A&M was doing at the time. And
right.
And in Georgia's case, you know, they just had quarterback issues because the offensive line wasn't blocking. So, I mean, they just had to figure out a way to correct it, and they did. So it's a little bit different. But they also had a big game the next week. And I assumed everyone would be fired up the first week, but I think the weird practice schedule, the lack of intense hitting, I think affected some teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a comment with regard to just the mindset that seems to be pervasive, especially here in the area where I am. I kind of get a real good kick out of it, actually, you know, being a Bama grad and a Tide faithful for so many years. To know from 2012 – you know, defeating Georgia that year, you know, where they had a chance to play Notre Dame instead of us, you know, to win a national championship. And, of course, we took a national championship from them in 17. And then, of course, everybody remembers the epic battle of the SEC championship of 2018. You know, that some of the, you know, Georgia, you know, Bulldog faithful, you know, it resonates pretty harsh, you know, with regard to, you know, getting over the Bama hurdle, so to speak. But I get a big kick out of it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, on our side, it'll continue.
Great to hear from you. But, and enjoy this weekend. Thank you. How about Brian in Tennessee? Hey, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's going great.
I had a quick question I'm trying to figure out. I watched the Tennessee and South Carolina game. I know Tennessee was playing at Bryce Stadium. Tennessee, I believe, won that game from what I watched that. And then I watched Texas and Vanderbilt play, and Texas did not look good at all against Vanderbilt. Both Vanderbilt and South Carolina were non-ranked teams. Just trying to figure out why Tennessee dropped 5 in the AP rankings and Texas only dropped 3 in the AP rankings.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think maybe I do know.
I think
the only thing I would say to you is I believe that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have been added to the AP poll. So that is the only explanation, because, I mean, I thought Tennessee went on the road, won a game, and did what it had to do. But I think that is correct. So I think that's I would hold on. I wouldn't lose faith. Tennessee keeps winning. It will move back up. Thanks for the call. Wisdom is in Tennessee. And you are on the air. Hello, Wisdom.
Paul, in the words of Stephen A. Smith, how about those Gators, Paul? I'm going to tell you this, Paul. I hope the puppy dogs have enjoyed their ride as SEC East champions, because it ends this year, Paul. That Kyle Pitts and Kyle Trask, that duo right there, Paul, is going to get the Gators to the SEC championship and then on to the national championship, Paul. And I'll go ahead and shout out Derek Booth, John Guthrie, and the Tennessee Vols. They look good, Paul. They got them a win, but, Paul, they ain't the Gators, though, Paul. In the
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, and good invitation there. Russell is in Georgia. Hey, Russell.
Mr. Paul, how are you doing today?
Russell, we are doing great.
Well, thank God on that. We had some good SEC games on there. I got a thing for Daryl here. You keep talking about going to beat Florida. Tell him when he can win 3 national championships in 1 year, give me a call. We won 2 in basketball and 1 in football. And then we won 2 more in football. Yeah, and that's all I got to say about that.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Let's check in with Scott in Mississippi, where they had a pretty good game on Saturday morning. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It is well, thank you.
Good, man. Hey, I just wanted to touch base with you, kind of get your thoughts on the Ole Miss-Alabama game, Lane Kiffin era. I thought the offense looked great. Defense was lacking by far. And then, you know, Elijah Moore, he showed out. I thought Corral showed out. Just kind of want to get your thoughts on what the future looks like and what you think about them.
I feel pretty good about them. I don't think anyone thought the defense would be any good. That's why Lane went out and brought in Durkin, who has a great reputation, but there's only so much you can do with limited players. But to manufacture that much offense, I thought was a very positive sign. It leads me to believe that Ole Miss will surprise somebody this year. If he can win a couple of those tweener games, I think they'll be in really good shape. I know long-term they will be. Hey, thanks for the call. We have to go to a break. Andy Staples, we'll get his take on the college football weekend. Andy, I cannot wait for this. Andy's looking pretty good.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back, and we have heard some reaction and overreaction. Let's talk to somebody who covered a game Saturday. maybe has a different perspective. He is Andy Staples from The Athletic, and he was on the plains this weekend. And Andy, looks like you made it back safe and sound. Great to have you on, and take us through the day down there, the real live college football game.
Yeah, it was weird, Paul. I'm not used to being in an SEC town where there's no traffic. You saw the cops stationed at the interstate exit off of 85 to direct traffic that there was no traffic. And the only signs of life I saw in the morning, there were lines wrapped around the drive-thrus at Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, but that was about it. It didn't look like there was an SEC football game going on that day. And I mean, I live in an SEC town, so I know usually when there's a conference game coming, you can tell by Friday afternoon that the town is just bigger. And this was strange. Just drove right on, and the students at Auburn were really fired up. This was the student-only game, the Kentucky game. So they were fired up. They were very loud. I mean, for the size of the crowd they had, they made some noise. And then once the football started, though, it just sort of felt normal. It was sort of locked right in. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Auburn and Kentucky came in really prepared. I didn't see a lot of the sloppiness from those two teams that I saw in a lot of the other games I've watched. And they just, you know, they weren't having trouble lining up. They weren't false starting. They're just playing exactly the way you'd expect them to play on September 26th. So that was a lot of fun.
Let's start with Kentucky because, I mean, they looked pretty good in the first half, and then it seemed like everything that could go wrong did.
Yeah, I mean, they should have gotten a touchdown there right before the half, but I don't know why that official decided to say his forward momentum had been stopped when you always give the person a chance to make a second effort and get in the end zone. So they should have gotten that touchdown, but that probably wouldn't have helped them because of the big fumble in the third quarter by Terry Wilson. And Terry Wilson and Mark Stoops both said it. It's really hard to simulate that stuff in practice. Terry hadn't been hit in a year. You know, he hadn't played since the Eastern Michigan game last year. So I think that's one of those things that they can get cleaned up. But overall, I thought they played a really good game. And Mark Stoops made a really good point after the game. He said, you know, in a lot of those games, they can do 95% of the stuff right, but if they 5% wrong in critical areas, they're going to lose. And when they're playing an Auburn or an Alabama or a Florida or a Georgia, those are the teams that those 5% really matter. But the thing is, Kentucky's talented enough, especially on both lines of scrimmage, to go toe-to-toe with teams like that. So if they can clean it up, they can have a really good season. They can surprise some people. But is it even a surprise? I think Mark Stoops has done a really good job there, and we know how good they are on the offensive line. I think they're pretty good on the D-line, too.
Andy, 1,000 questions I could ask you, but everybody's still talking about what happened in Baton Rouge, and it's easy to overreact, especially when you consider who wasn't in the game that could have been. But what's your takeaway?
I've been saying all summer – Mike Leach has never had a team this talented. Nobody coached at Texas Tech. No team he coached at Washington State was that talented. There were good players like Michael Crabtree, Gardner Minshew, but not a top-to-bottom roster like this. So it reminds me a little bit of when I covered Florida and Urban Meyer got the job, and people said, well, that offense isn't going to work in the SEC. You're not playing against Colorado State. Yeah, but you're not playing with Utah players either. You were playing with Florida players. So Mike Leach is playing with Mississippi State players now. And that's a big upgrade, especially at wide receiver. I think K.J. Costello is the perfect guy to bring in at quarterback. I mean, he mastered the Stanford offense, which is about as complex of an offense as you're going to find. And then smart guys tend to learn the air raid quickly. I mean, look at Gardner Minshew a couple years ago. So I thought they had a chance to put up some points. But did I think they were going to beat LSU? Absolutely not. I figured they'd score a bunch of points, but LSU would just out-athlete them at some point. But that didn't happen. And you know, you saw a lot of what LSU lost. You saw a lot of cases where I think a more experienced team probably would have been able to handle that game a little bit better. And I thought offensively LSU kind of clicked a little bit going into the second half. You started to see Miles Brennan get a little more comfortable. Eric Gilbert looks like he's going to be as good as advertised. So it's one of those things where one or two players, you mentioned Derek Stingley was out. Just imagine if Ja'Marr Chase hadn't opted out a few weeks ago. If Ja'Marr Chase is in this game, it's probably even. LSU may still lose, but it's probably a little bit closer. So they lost a lot. You know that. It's going to take a little time for those younger guys to get ready. But I will say this. Somebody posted the Mississippi State roster from the end of last season, or the Mississippi State starting lineup from the end of last season. This is a very different Mississippi State team, too. So I don't know if that's even a legitimate excuse you can make. But it was interesting because Mike Leach has always said, I know this will work in the SEC. I know this offense can work in that league. And I think Saturday was absolute proof of that.
I mean, Mike Leach is the talk of the country, obviously, and you know, we knew we'd have either Mike or Lane Kiffin in this moment somewhere, somehow. But what's this Mississippi State team capable of this year?
Well, if they can go down to Baton Rouge and beat LSU, I think they can compete with just about anybody. I will be curious to see them against Alabama, because the one thing that fascinated me about Mike Leach's tenure at Washington State was the fact that when he played Washington, they seemed to always have that offense's number. And, you know, you're thinking Nick Saban and that roster, that would probably be the best analog to Washington in the league. But, I mean, look, LSU has really good athletes on defense. I mean, it's not like they weren't recruiting well. And that defense got shredded. Now, you can say, oh, I don't know, they haven't faced it. But the thing is, the Air Raid's been around long enough, and you can call some people around the country and say, how have you handled this? You should be able to face it a little bit better. Now, I think this is a case of he's got a good quarterback, some really good receivers, and Kylan Hill coming out of the backfield is a weapon. It's interesting because somebody asked Mike Leach after the game about, you know, they only ran for 9 yards. What about using Kylan Hill? And he looked up Kylan Hill's receiving numbers, and they were off the charts. I mean, Kylan Hill may be putting himself in Clyde Edwards-Helaire territory where he's kind of the ultimate weapon. And I think they've got really good players, and that offense has never had this level of talent running it.
Andy, I won't go game by game because they're just way too many, but Georgia has gotten already a lot of conversation here in the first 90 minutes of the show. We know things are going to be a little bit different this week. Daniel's back, but what do you make out of their quarterback situation?
It's really interesting because we don't know exactly how it went down. You know, they've been pretty secretive about how everything went down in the preseason. But I do wonder, was DeJuan Mathis starting because he had kind of earned that job, or was it just JT Daniels was out and Newman had opted out? We won't know about that. But I thought Stetson Bennett came in and did a really good job. I thought he got the ball out on time. It was clear he was running the offense as it was intended to be run. And everything opened up after that. Now, it concerned me in the first half that Georgia couldn't just turn around and hand the ball off and gain a bunch of yards on the ground against Arkansas. I feel like if you're playing against Auburn or Florida or Alabama, you're going to have some serious problems if you can't just do that against Arkansas. But, you know, when Bennett came in, the running game perked up because he was able to throw. They couldn't stack the box like they did before. So I'll be interested to see if Bennett starts this weekend against Auburn and he's had all the first team reps, he could be pretty good, because you think about it, if DeJuan Mathis was getting most of the first team reps last week and Bennett, who, you know, we didn't hear much about for most of the offseason, if he was kind of buried and wasn't getting a lot of reps and all that was on instinct alone, he could be pretty good when he's had a week of practice.
Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, 2, 3, and 4 in the country. That doesn't happen very often. And this week, of course, Georgia. But I want to flip it over to the other side, the underbelly. And A&M heads to Tuscaloosa this weekend, and their fan base is already a little nauseous. Should they be concerned?
Yes, they should be very concerned. I mean, when you're playing Vandy, and look, it looks like Vandy's got a quarterback. I liked him a lot, but you gotta come out stronger than that. And I realize this offseason has not gone the way Texas A&M thought it would. You know, they thought they had Jamon Osmond back, and then he bops out a couple weeks ago. They thought they'd have a really good two tight end offense with Weidermeyer and Baylor Cup. Baylor Cup gets hurt and isn't able to play. So I mean, you end up playing a lot of young guys, but you know they are going to have to be better. Kellen Mond's going to have a great game. Isaiah Spiller, who I thought ran pretty well on Saturday night, is going to have to really, really step it up. And, I mean, that line's going to have to block better, which we knew. I mean, the offensive line at Texas A&M was kind of one of the question marks going in, even though they were experienced and those guys had played a lot. But could they play well against the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Auburns? And we're going to find out. But what I saw Saturday does not give me a lot of confidence with them heading into Tuscaloosa, where, I mean, Alabama seems like just an almost perfectly constructed team right now. – I had some people get mad at me last week because I said something to the tune of, you know, Alabama brings everybody back. And they said, well, what about Tua? What about Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs? And I'm like, well, you know, they lost Tua during the season last year. And then, yeah, they lost Jeudy and Ruggs, but they still have Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, who probably the best receiver duo in the country. And then that offensive line, and then they have the linebackers back who didn't play last year. I mean, it is a loaded team. This is I'm trying to think of the last time an Alabama team felt this complete, because, you know, they won that national title in 2017, but they had all those injury issues at linebacker. I think you got to go back a ways before you get to one that felt this whole.
Yeah, and on the other side of this, the Aggies play at Alabama this week, at Florida, and then Mississippi State. Or I can't remember which one. The Florida game may be at home, but at Alabama, Florida at home, and then at Mississippi State. I mean, this is a dangerous beginning for Jimbo Fisher, who, you know, you and I hear this from the I realize you're in the national media, but from national media that don't cover the SEC very closely, I mean, he is on everyone's list to jump all over.
Well, it's interesting because if you go talk to Texas A&M people, they'll tell you this was the season they had circled, because there's no Clemson in the out-of-conference schedule. There's no Georgia in the crossover. And I'm talking about the original schedule for this season, you know, where they basically traded Clemson and Georgia for Colorado and Vanderbilt. And you looked at that schedule and thought, oh, my gosh, this team could be 9-0, could be 9-1 to start. I mean, they're going to have a great year. Now you have this 10-game SEC-only schedule. You've had some opt-outs. We got to figure out what constitutes success in a year like this anyway. I think it's 7 wins or more against an all SEC schedule. And I don't know that they're going to hit that. If they play like they did Saturday, they won't. And at that point, how do the A&M people feel about Jimbo? Because they were perfectly happy to be patient with him, because they felt like this year was really set up, a fourth year starting quarterback, a fairly easy schedule. But here's the thing. You're in the SEC West. So whether your non-conference is easy or not shouldn't matter. Your division schedule is always going to be hard. If you plan to compete in the SEC West, you need to be good enough to compete for the national title. That's just the facts. That's just the reality of the situation. And I'm not sure they're there right now. And so we'll see how the A&M people feel. Now, the thing is, I don't think they have a choice but to be patient with him, because he's still guaranteed a ton more money. But do they start to get off the boat if it looks really bad on Saturday?
And one last thing, I we're short on time, but, and I'm not blaming Jimbo for what's happening right now at Florida State, but the verdict on him in the way he left that program is not going to be good based on the destruction of the program since.
Yeah, and look, I've written a couple things about what was left behind and what Willie Taggart had to work with when he got there. But at this point with Florida State, I don't know that you can pin this on Jimbo anymore. I think you've got to pin it on a lot of factors. One, the hiring of Willie Taggart, to the firing of Willie Taggart, because I think it's been pretty hard for Mike Norvell to get this locker room, you know, wrap his arms around it, because these guys, they've been through the ringer. You know, they got a lot of them got recruited by Jimbo. He leaves. Then they get Willie Taggart. Some of them like him. Some of them don't. But then he gets fired. And it's just like, there's nothing, none of the rah-rah stuff's going to work on that team anymore. So you just got to be real with them and say, look, I'm sorry you've had not the college experience you wanted, but we're just going to have to start over from scratch and do the best we can here. And it sounded, listening to Mike Norvell today, that's kind of what they're doing when they start with Jacksonville State, hoping to have the palate cleanser before they get back into the ACC schedule.
Great stuff. Andy, we could have asked you 1,000 more questions, and we will in the future. Thanks for coming on, Andy. Andy Staples from The Athletic. Andy, great to have you with us, and we will talk to you very soon. Thank you very much. Andy, not only that situation in Florida State that Andy Staples alluded to is really interesting. Norvell was not at that Miami game, but it was a destruction. We will take a break. More to come. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. Back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You being with us on here on a pretty amazing Monday. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Rick, who is in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Stitt.
You there, Rick?
Mr. Feinbaum?
Yes, that's me.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I temporarily lost you.
That's okay.
I haven't got to hear all your show today, so I hope you're doing well, sir.
We are.
Okay. I've heard a lot of people, like you said, especially Georgia fans, but a lot of them complaining about this and that. You know, I just want to say, as someone who's been a fan of the game since 72 and played and did a little coaching, granted, not on the college level, it's just I'm strictly talking high school, and I helped coach Little League for a few years where you really teach the fundamentals of football. But all these teams really were inconsistent. And that's because of the lack of repetition due to quarantines for coaches, players, et cetera. And the more a team had quarantines and problems, like I'm sure LSU did because Louisiana was hard hit, the more it showed with their ability to be on the same page and do something as a team. So, you know, if you're a Tennessee or Georgia or Alabama or Florida fan or Mississippi State, you should be happy. At least your team was consistent enough to win opening day on the road. That's big, especially with all SEC.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it was an underdog weekend as well. Hey, thank you for the call. Justin is in St. Louis, and you are on the air. Hello, Justin.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you. Great to have you.
Hey, Coach, I was wanting to talk to you about the Tigers, Mizzou Tigers, and get your take on Coach Drinkwitz and see what your thoughts on them were after Saturday night's what I call a win, even though most people would crazy, but they played an NFL caliber team. And to me, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I think most people, Justin, thought it would be a lot worse. And, you know, the score sometimes can be deceiving, but I thought Coach Drink acquitted himself. And now it's really a matter of what happens next. And I think it's critical that Missouri continues some. Nobody expected a win, but you know, at Tennessee, I mean, you've got a Tennessee team coming off of a big win, and I don't know if they'll be let down or not. But it's a good opportunity to get in there and maybe mix it up, and then you're at LSU and Vanderbilt. I don't see in Florida. I mean, the schedule is absolutely brutal, so. If you're going, what you have to do, and I never want to sound like a coach because I'm not, but you just have to build on the momentum and try to get better and just not get hung up on all this other stuff.
Well, to me, Coach Drinkwitz Coach Drinkwitz actually did prove himself on Saturday night, and he showed more enthusiasm and passion than we've seen in Mizzou in a long time, and since Coach Finkel left. And
yeah, that was always one of the knocks on Barry Odom. He was technically a very sound coach, but he was fairly dull.
He was. And no offense to Arkansas, but hopefully he stays that way down there, and we can at least pull out that win there at the end of the season this year.
Well, it is really nice to hear from you. Let's check in with Jerry, who is in Texas. Jerry, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Jerry, I'm doing great.
Oh, good, good. Wish I was doing great, too, but I'm back is out, and I'm on the heating pad right now.
Oh, my goodness. I've been there. It is not fun. I hope you can slowly get through this.
Yeah, I'm hoping I get through it quickly.
Well, the only reason I said slowly is one thing with the back, you do not want to rush.
Absolutely. You're correct. Hey, just a couple of things today. First off, some comments on the A&M Vandy game. And kudos to Vandy. I think they've got a heck of a good freshman quarterback there. I think give him a little time, and he'll be right at the top of the ranks. So
did look good.
They really did a good job.
What do you make out of the Aggies?
Well, now that's a different story. I'm a little disappointed in my Aggies because, you know, they should have really whipped Vandy good. But, you know, there were too many mistakes. And to tell you the truth, I just didn't really see a whole lot out of Kellen Mond. He looked just like he has for the past 3 years. And he's been touted highly as far as his stats go, but, you know, I just didn't see him perform like he should have. And I was very disappointed in that.
Yeah, Jerry, I agree with you on that. And I've always been a big fan of the hire of Jimbo Fisher. But these next couple of weeks are going to really try the patience of the Aggies because the schedule is challenging, and I think they want to see at least a team that looks like a real contender, and they didn't see that Saturday, and I think that was the biggest disappointment. And there's just no excuse to play that poorly at home against what we thought was the worst team in the SEC.
Yeah, and you're correct on that, too. You know, as far as the performance goes, I mean, that's one thing. But one thing that struck me was at the end of the game, Jimbo kind of summed it up. He attributed it to poor coaching. And this kind of brings up a situation I'm concerned about. You know, at what point does a head coach make a decision to leave a player in who's performing poorly and not pull him out, you know, at least to give him time to think about what's going on and get his head straight? And that didn't happen. And I think that's kind of a fault of a head coach not recognize.
Yeah, no, you do. I think in a game that you didn't expect to be tight, you probably, I don't care what he says, probably had a totally different game plan. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We have to go to a break. We have a lot going on. John Talty in the third hour. We've already had Tony Barnhart and Andy Staples, three great sports journalists, giving us their reaction or overreaction to week one. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back on a Monday afternoon, and Legend is up next.
What's going on, Coach? What's going on, brother?
Legend.
Hey, Paul, I was happy with Mac Daddy Jones on Saturday night. He looked good, brother. What do you think?
I thought he looked very good, and I wasn't really too surprised.
Nah, I wasn't either. Mac Daddy. You know, I mean, I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks.
Hey, Legend, let me turn the tables, because I don't know how many people know that Legend has had a pretty interesting career of his own. He has for many years done a TV show in Birmingham. So, Legend, can I borrow you as an analyst for a second?
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, because I mean, you're a great caller, but I need some analysis, right? I've never heard a fan be tougher on the Georgia Bulldogs. What were you thinking at halftime? of the A&M
game. I was
game.
Laughing my ass off. I'll say it, and I'll say it again. I've been saying it for all my life and most of everybody else's life, that the Georgia Bulldogs are the Buffalo Bills of college football, Paul. Most overrated program. I'm talking about when it comes to winning national championships, because they always want to put themselves up there with the Alabamas of the world, and they're just not there. They're a tier below, maybe two tiers below, Paul. But I always say they're the Buffalo Bills of college football. And, you know, they might get JT Daniels back on Saturday, but give me Auburn and them 7 points. I'll take Auburn and them 7 points all day long, Paul. This is not a championship caliber team. Maybe 7 wins, Paul. Maybe 7 wins. That's the harsh reality. The window has closed on the wannabe Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and it's closed, Paul. That's just the fact of the matter.
Did you realize that Nick Saban was going to have to fight off the Pirate this year versus Kirby Smart?
Oh, man. Who knew, Paul, that the LSU Tigers was Buster Douglas?
Well, I was trying to get to that in a nice way, because something tells me you rather enjoyed that game.
Oh, talk about laughing your ass off. I mean, I said it earlier in the year in preseason, everybody called me crazy. I said they was a one-hit wonder. They beat Alabama one time out of 10 years. I'll take that every 10 years. And everybody got so excited. They struck lightning. Now they're back to no quarterback you, and the real Coach Oak stepped up. And the Pirate not only went on the ship, but he took all the booty. A one-hit wonder, Paul. LSU is the real Buster Douglas.
Anything else that you rather enjoyed Saturday afternoon or Saturday night?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, Paul. What I really, really enjoyed, other than just seeing the fact that LSU fell on their face, I really enjoyed the Alabama Crimson Tide, Paul. You have to say we are now officially wide receiver U. I mean, Jalen Waddle looked like Lynn Swan out there. And for Justin from Missouri, I wouldn't take no credit, because Nick Saban called the dogs off so we could get our true freshman some playing time. Hell, I see the water boy in for 3 snaps in the fourth quarter. I was thrilled with the Tide, Paul. My boy Danny Sheridan's off base on this one. I don't see us losing a game in the SEC, Paul. Not at all.
Legend, that's why you're the best analyst in the business.
Hey, Paul, you the best, brother. I took all my notes and lessons from you, brother. You the man. Hey, Mac Daddy Jones, do your thing. A&M, jump off the ship. It's already done. Peace out, Paul.
Oh, what a great call. Let's check in with Joe next. Hey, Joe.
Roll Tide, Paul. Ain't it a difference what a year will make?
Man, and Joe is back on the show. What is the world coming to?
Smart guy. LSU is really LSU this year. They have lost their identity. They don't know who they are. And Georgia, I got news for Darryl and Red Dummy. Georgia is not Alabama. Kirby is not Saban. And Georgia will never beat Alabama. So roll tide to those two dummies. And what do you think about them, Apple, Paul? Does Alabama not look good right now?
You know, hey, thanks for the call. It's so great to have you back. I mean, the show's intellectual level has elevated to new heights. Amazing the excitement of those last two Alabama fans. Why? Because LSU lost. Who would have ever guessed that? We are heading to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. John Talty from AL.com in the next hour. We've already talked to Andy Staples and Tony Barnhart. We're off and running here on a Monday.